Thank you for the beautiful, special music. And thank you so much for allowing us to come and to have a part in this weekend that is so precious and special to us. It was wonderful this morning just to be able to have Christy and to see her playing again, kind of like old times. She was certainly thrust into that role in our church as a little girl and put under fire right there, and I think that has helped her and will help her in the days to come. I want to thank Pastor Bob for allowing his pulpit to be taken. If you're here visiting today, come back tonight or next week for the real thing. But I appreciate the generosity and the graciousness. And the service last night was just something that I will remember the rest of my life as a very special thing. I only blubbered through half of it, and so I think I did pretty well. And it's wonderful to have my folks here, and Esther's mom. Esther's dad just passed away a month ago. He's in glory. And I know he looked forward to this day and prayed for this day when Christy has her support and is ready to actually go to the mission field. And as we heard last night, the challenges for her are just beginning. And this part, we're thankful, is over. God has provided. And thank you for your prayers and support and being her sending church for the days ahead. Please turn to Acts chapter 13 this morning. Pastor Bob touched on this passage last night in his challenge to you as a church. And I think he summed it up in 5 minutes, everything I'm going to say, in a much better way. But we'll have the extended version a little bit this morning in Acts chapter 13. As you're turning, let me tell you about a website I came across. I was really looking for something else, and this website had some interesting statistics. I have no way of verifying if any of these things are true, but they were very interesting. For example, one of the things they said was, if you yelled at the top of your lungs for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days. Don't know how they came up with that. But 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, you would produce enough sound energy to heat one cup of coffee. I think that would be a very old cup of coffee. It also said that a man by the name of Ernest Vincent Wright holds the record for writing the longest book without once using the letter E. 50,000 words, properly spelled and grammatically correct, never using the letter E. Don't know how he did that, and I've not read the book to check it out. It also said the average person spends 2 weeks of their life sitting at traffic lights. And that might not be true in Dublin, but it's true where we live. It's probably a lot longer than that. And guess what the official language of England was from 1066 to 1362? It was French. I know Christy likes that one. But I also found some more important and sobering statistics. According to a mission researcher named Gil Anger, in 1950, he says there were close to 100,000 American missionaries. And since 1950, we have lost 1,000 missionaries per year. It's been going down at that point. Only 50 take their place. And he said 43% of missionaries preparing to go to foreign fields never complete their deputation. There's never a commissioning service like there was last night. It is true that other countries are sending out more missionaries, and we're thankful for that as God is working elsewhere in the world. But missions in North America, you could really say, is in a crisis. That's why it's such a wonderful thing for Mountain View Bible Church to send out a missionary, to send out Christy Colas, as well as others in your church as well. Here in Acts chapter 13, I would like for you this morning to look at missions and how it relates to the local church. If you want to find out the important things about missions, you better go to the guidebook, and that's the Word of God. What does it say? Let me read the first three verses of Acts chapter 13, and then we'll get a little background to this passage. Verse 1, of Acts 13 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." What we have in this short passage is the beginning of the missionary movement. But really, it's not the beginning, because missions has been the heart of God from the very beginning of time. And particularly with Israel, there was to be a missionary emphasis. It wasn't always there, but you can think of examples. Think of Jonah as a reluctant missionary sent to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, but he eventually made it there, and he pronounced God's judgment, and there was a great turning to God in that great city. So Israel was to be missions-minded, but that was something that was by and large neglected. And when the church began on the day of Pentecost, there was missions at the heart of it. God's Word says the Holy Spirit, and the promise was the Holy Spirit would come and empower you, and you should go forth into Jerusalem and Judea and unto the uttermost part of the world. And so missions was a part of the beginning of the church. And the church began at Jerusalem, but Christians were persecuted and scattered and sent forth. And some believers had traveled north along the coast to the capital of the ancient Syrian city called Antioch. Antioch was a great city. It was kind of like the New York City of that day. Even though it was away from the sea by a few miles, it was connected with another city that had a port there. And it was also on a river of commerce. And there were approximately 500,000 people that lived there. And so it was a major city in the world of that day. And in that city, a church had begun because Christians from Jerusalem had migrated north and started a work. In fact, look in Acts chapter 11 to see a little of the history of this church. Acts chapter 11, look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." And so this church at Antioch then became a thriving church. And it says in verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Barnabas, if you study him, it's a wonderful study. He was one who encouraged and was known for the encouragement of others. Already Barnabas had met Saul, the former great persecutor of the church, and had encouraged him and introduced him to the leaders of the church at Jerusalem. And so Barnabas was sent to Antioch. Notice in verse 23 of chapter 11, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." So things were going so well at the church at Antioch. Barnabas said, "I need help," and he sought after Saul. And notice what it says in verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." And so they had a thriving church and a work going in Antioch. And then things got tougher down in Jerusalem. The persecution became greater. And so Barnabas and Saul were sent by the church in Antioch back to Jerusalem with money and relief for that church. Chapter 11 tells us, the rest of chapter 11 tells us about that. Turn to chapter 12 and verse 24. Chapter 12 speaks about some things that happened in the church at Jerusalem. But at the end of that chapter, verse 24 says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." And Mark comes into play later on in the book of Acts. But notice now Barnabas and Saul return back to Antioch, and it says that the next verses there in chapter 13, the start of the missionary movement as they were sent out. I'd like for you to notice with me today four things, four principles from this passage concerning missions and the local church. First of all, note that sending out missionaries begins with the heart of God. Sending out missionaries begins with the heart of God. Missions is God's idea. The apostles didn't think this up. It didn't originate with Barnabas and Saul here. The leaders of the church at Antioch didn't go off into a retreat and had a brainstorming session. They said, "Hey, I've got a good idea. Let's send out missionaries." No, that didn't come from them. It came from God Himself. It began with the heart of God. So if we want to obey God's wishes and model His heartbeat, then we will want to be involved through the local church in missions and reaching out in our area and all around the world. Because missions is not man's idea, it's God's idea. Somebody once said, "God has only one son, and He made him a missionary." The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God delights in saving lost people. It shows His mercy and His grace. And God desires that the whole world know the story of salvation through Jesus Christ. So, I repeat, it's not the church's idea, it's God's idea. And we see clearly in these verses here in Acts chapter 13 that it is the Holy Spirit who's the instigator of this action. It's the Holy Spirit of God that caused the missionaries to go forth in this text. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." Now, I wish they would have included a few more details. It would have been interesting to know specifically how the Holy Spirit said that. At this time in the early church, the scripture was not completed, and there were prophets in the church who gave revelation from God. Not false prophets like we heard about in Sunday school today, but God did speak through men, and maybe that was the way. Maybe one of those prophets spoke and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says." Today we don't have that gift of prophecy because we have the completion of God's Word. That's how He speaks to us. It doesn't say, the details aren't there. However it happened, the Holy Spirit made it clear that these two men were to be sent out. And there was no uncertainty or doubt about it. God was doing a special work. The application, I think, is this. We are never closer to the heart of God than when we're involved in missions. And I'm so glad that Christie Sending Church is such a missions-minded church, and that's your heartbeat, that's your love. And as you were challenged last night, it needs to begin with each of us, not just with those who are sent out, but we're sent out to this area, whether it's southern New Hampshire or around the world, like in France. We need to be involved in that. If we are reaching out with the gospel, then we are near God's heartbeat, because sending out missionaries begins with the heart of God. Secondly, sending out missionaries follows the establishment of a local church. I think that's clear in this passage. We see here in Acts chapter 13 that the church at Antioch became established, and then it sent out missionaries. So missionaries came from a local church. When Saul was in Tarsus, God didn't send him out to be a missionary at that point. When Barnabas was helping in the church at Jerusalem, and then he left to go up to Antioch, God didn't say, "I'm taking you on your journey away from the church and you're going to be a missionary." No, it came in the context of the local church, an established local church. And we see in verse 1, five men who are named. And they are gifted men. They've been given the place of leadership in the church, and they are called of God. And so I think we see the principle here that God intends for a local church, every local church, to be a deployment center. Not a place just to come and wait for Jesus Christ to come back, and we're looking for that day, praise God, but to be involved, to come and grow in maturity, and then be assigned, be deployed, whether it's here or around the world. The church is not a collecting point for Christians on their way to heaven, but a command center where we get orders and we're sent forth by the Holy Spirit of God. You get orders, you get equipped, and you go. This church at Antioch is a place where the Spirit of God made his announcement concerning missions. These Spirit-filled leaders were ministering to the Lord. It says there verse 1, there were in the church certain prophets and teachers, and it gives their names, and verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord. That's an interesting word in the Greek language. It's a word that means, that has the idea of liturgical service. That's what its root word is. That's where we get our English word liturgy, from this Greek word. And we normally think of liturgical things or liturgy as someone kneeling and at the right time and then standing up and maybe reading something and going through some religious motions. But that's not the idea of this word at all. It means to be worshiping God and serving Him, ministering to Him. One Greek lexicon put it this way, this word means a Christian service to God through prayer, teaching, and good works. And so they were worshiping God, they were ministering to Him, they were serving Him. It also says there in verse 2 that they not only ministered to the Lord, but they fasted. They fasted, they withheld food as they served the Lord. It didn't mean that they were trying to be more spiritual than those who were still eating, but it meant they were seeking to really focus on spiritual things. And that's the idea of fasting. It's not a meritorious thing that we do to say, look at me, or to try to impress God so that He will hear us better, but it allows our hearts and minds to focus on spiritual things. And that's what these men were doing. They were ministering to God, they were worshiping Him, they were fasting, and that was their priority in serving in the local church as a leader. So we see the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, leading this church, and the under-shepherds responding to that, and then the whole congregation involved in sending out Paul and Barnabas, and then receiving them back later for a report. Because when Paul and Barnabas came back, they didn't just report to the church leaders. They reported to the church. And I hope that when a missionary comes and speaks, unlike some people who say, well, I don't need to come that night or hear that report, but that becomes a priority. The missionaries reported back to the local church. The whole church was involved. I think it's really important for us to see that it's the context of the local church that God worked. Because today, there are a lot of organizations, we call them parachurch organizations, outside the local church, and some of those organizations send out missionaries themselves, apart from the authority or direction of a particular local church. And I think that's in opposition to the New Testament pattern, which is clear here in Acts chapter 13. You can't separate the church from missions, even though many groups are trying to do just that today. And there are some, I recognize, who in their eagerness to go, and they see the need, but they don't go about it the right way. In fact, last Sunday night in our church in Colorado, they had a missionary who had already been to Kenya, but he was back and now raising support, and he told of what happened to him. He was newly saved and excited and heard about the mission field there in Kenya. And what he did was he talked three families into helping him. And this man had also owned a trucking company, so he had some means of his own. And so with the money he had and with these three families supporting him, he headed to the field. and was there for some time until his money ran out. And he also came into some other problems. And now he was coming to our church, having come back to the States, gotten involved in a good church that was a sending church like this one, involved also with a mission board to help him. And he was obtaining deputation, and he was going back to Kenya, but was to work under a veteran missionary. I think far wiser choices he's making this the second time around. So it needs to be in the context of a local church. You say, what about mission boards? Well, I think mission boards are fine. Churches can ask for assistance from mission boards. But we need to remember the priority is with the local church in this area of missions. And as Christie's sending church, you have a special responsibility, and she has a special responsibility. She's accountable to you. And so that is the biblical pattern. So sending out missionaries starts with the heart of God. It's done upon the authority of the local church. And thirdly, sending out missionaries is the sovereign work of the Spirit. Notice what it says there in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice the Holy Spirit says to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And the language structure here is such that it didn't mean that right at that particular moment that he called them, but in the past he called them, and now this was part of the process in carrying that out. Barnabas and Saul already knew the call of God on their life. They knew that God had additional plans for them, and now the Holy Spirit is saying it's time. This is the time, and this is what you are to do, as he sovereignly sent them out. What kind of men did he call? He called leaders, men with proven character, men with proven service for the Lord, men who knew how it was to worship God and to serve Him, not one apart from the other. Worship by itself becomes empty without service to God. Service to God without worship and devotion to Him becomes ritual. And so they were involved in those two essential things together. And the Holy Spirit took them and thrust them forth. I think all those who are involved in full-time service for God need to know God's call on their life. I know that Esther and I did not know, as Christie was growing up in our home as a little girl, we didn't know at that point that God was going to use her as a missionary. We did know that she had a sensitive heart for the Lord, that she wanted to serve Him, and it's just been wonderful to see, step by step, God has guided and directed in her life, and we heard her testimony, those of you who were here last night, how he moved her every step of the way and now is sending her to France. And it's just been a wonderful thing to see that at some point God, and we heard her testimony last night, God called her and directed her and is sending her forth. Whether that call comes as a young person, someone in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 60s, if God calls and directs, instead of saying, you know, I look forward to retirement, I can sit there in the cabin by the lake and just fish, maybe God is calling you to go and to serve Him with the skills He's given you in the occupation that you have served in. And the question is, if He's calling you, are you willing to go? Would God thrust you out at any age and you would allow Him to send you and to serve? Would you be receptive to that? Is a question we need to ask ourselves today. So the Holy Spirit is the one who chooses. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls. And He calls those who are proven in character and service. And the fourth and final principle I want you to see with me today is that sending out missionaries is the obedient response of the church. It says in verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here you see leaders and congregation cooperating with the Holy Spirit in missions. G. Campbell Morgan said this, there is one body and one spirit. The spirit is the life of the body. The body is the instrument of the spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. The body is the assembly of the saints. The Spirit works through the assembly, but the assembly has no power to move save under the inspiration and impulse of the Spirit. There is one body, and the body must cooperate with the Spirit in separating its members for a particular service. And that's what this body did. They prayed, they fasted, and they officially sent them forth in service to the Lord. Notice it says that they laid their hands on them. Just as Pastor Bob said last night, as we laid hands on Christy, it wasn't conveying any kind of power or some mystical thing, but it was symbolic. It meant that this church officially recognized Christy as a missionary, that God has called her and is sending her forth. And that's what this church did, delegating these men to go on a specific assignment, promising to support them, promising to pray for them. And so when they laid their hands on them, they're giving them authority symbolically from the church to serve, to go. And it says they sent them away. Literally, it means they released them. They released them from their responsibilities in the church there in Antioch. And now they are to go to the work that God has called them to do. And they have authority from that church to do it as representatives of that congregation. And they will come back one day and give a report to this same church. So I see principles about God sending out His servants, sending out His missionaries. It begins with God, in the heartbeat of God. It takes place in the context of the established church. The Holy Spirit sovereignly sends the people forth, and the church, in obedient response to the Holy Spirit, sends them out. One mission scholar put it this way: world evangelism is the imperative of the New Testament. The gospel must first be proclaimed above and among all nations. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The paraclete to accomplish the task is the Holy Spirit, while the divinely chosen agency for the proclamation is the Church of Jesus Christ. These are sobering and scriptural assertions. So the sending out of missionaries is something that a church should be doing. It's part of the fruit of the establishment of a church. And so your church is doing just that. And you are to be commended. And I'm so thankful I had an opportunity to meet more of you, and instead of just hear about you from Christy, to spend some time and to see what a special church this is. And we appreciate so much, both pastor and people, your support and your sending out and your obedience to God's commands. And I know God will bless you for your faithfulness. Perhaps today God is working in your heart about surrender to Him. I've been preaching to believers this morning, but if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not a missionary you need to be. You need to be trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. That's the surrender that needs to take place in your life. If you've trusted Christ, has God worked upon your heart? Is He, through events and circumstances and your study of the Word of God and your faithful service in the local church, is He tugging at your heart concerning full-time service to Him? Are you at least willing to let Him do that and to send you forth if He wants you to go? Would the Holy Spirit be calling you? Sending out missionaries is vitally important. And certainly, in one sense, perhaps not like Christy in the same category, but we are all to be missionaries. Christy's doing it full-time, called by God, but we are all to be missionaries. And maybe among this congregation, God is going to say to someone else, separate me to me, so-and-so, for the work that I have called them to do. Just like you're sending Christy to France, may others follow. And what a high privilege and a praise to God that would be. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You send forth missionaries. And we know that we are to be Your missionaries. And we pray that as we are sent forth where we live, we are to be faithful witnesses in the places that we work and the people that we come across. And Father, we're thankful this morning that Christy is going forth to France. And we thank you for all you have done, and we thank you for the support of her sending church. And we uphold and lift her up in prayer. We pray for her effectiveness and faithfulness. And we praise you for your perfect timing, and we praise you for your perfect work. And we thank you for how the Holy Spirit and the leaders and the congregation of the local church are all involved in establishing your call and sending forth. We do pray, Father, for others to follow Christy from this church. And we thank you for a missions-minded church that loves you and trusts you. In Jesus' name, amen.